What is up, you beautiful people? Welcome back to the Built on Bitcoin podcast, where we're covering everything going on in the Stax ecosystem. Today, I have Brian Laughlin on the podcast. You might have seen him around as Bruffstar. He is the founder of Satoshiables, which is the project. It's a tribute to the meme of Satoshi Doyen Nakamoto, and they initially minted on ETH, done pretty well over there, but they made waves recently because they are the first project to successfully port from ETH to Stax with their own solution they're calling Stax Bridge. So that was pretty exciting when it was announced. You started seeing these things come over and ending up on Stax marketplaces. And it's kind of interesting because the artwork, you can tell where they are depending on the background. The ones on ETH will have a certain background, and the ones on Stax will have a slightly tweaked background and a nice B in the top right, so you can tell where they're currently at home. But yeah, we cover a ton. You know, it's inspiration for the project. They have a giving pledge kind of thing for the project, so we talk about that and explore some of the, you know, technicalities and what was difficult about building Stax Bridge. So check it out, this conversation with Brian Laughlin, founder, creator of Satoshiables.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
Hi, Brian, thank you for coming on the show, my man. How are you doing today?
Not bad. Great. Thanks for having me, Jake.
It's a pleasure to have you. You guys have made some waves in the past week by bringing Satoshi home and creating the first ETH to Stax Bridge. And yeah, I just want to get a pulse on how you guys are feeling right now by completing this thing. How's the community feeling? What's the energy like?
Yeah, everyone's really excited. It's actually been quite a long time coming. We announced this in November last year. But I've been thinking about it basically since like the first week of our mint on Ethereum in July last year. So thinking about how to do these Bitcoin NFTs and everything, and then Stax came into my life and I'm like, okay, that's the one. And then try to figure out how to get over there. So yeah, it's been a long time coming, and finally it's here, and I'm super happy to be like have a presence on Stax. People are seeing it on the marketplaces. Everyone's really excited.
Heck yeah. So I'd love to just hear a little bit about what is Satoshiables, because I've seen the artwork. You know, I first heard about you guys from Trevor, who's like the NFT pulse for me. Like whatever he's looking at, I'll give a little bit of an eye to, and he was early on you guys. So what is the project?
Yeah, exactly. Trevor was one of our early holders. He actually was the one who put me onto Stax. But just to go way back at the beginning, basically, like it was end of 2020, I started seeing like the NFT buzzword going around. And obviously I had like knowledge of CryptoKitties back in the day, and I thought, oh, okay, these are now coming back. These NFT things are kicking around. And I had a look, and like at the time, at the end of 2020, the artwork was just not good. Like it was like, I'm like, these are selling. Okay, great. But I had an idea like, okay, maybe in 2021, it's got to be like decent artists, like, you know, kind of coming with good art, and it might be the time. So I took a bet basically and gambled on it and started my own project. And I had this idea of like, well, maybe try to do a Bitcoin themed one. And then the idea of the meme of Dorian Nakamoto came into my head, and I thought that would be really funny if people could get it basically. And I had the idea of doing I wanted to do like a comic book style. So I was looking around for an artist, and that's where I found our artist Ayub. He's like a super, super talented comic artist. And you know, I gave him this photo of Dorian, and then he's like, who's this Japanese guy? What's he got to do with this Scottish guy? Like, you know, is it his weird uncle or something? And I'm like, no, just please just draw it. I'll explain later, you know. And then he drew the thing, and I'm like, great, now take his hair off, take his clothes off, take his glasses off. And this guy's like, is this guy crazy? What does he want all this stuff for? Because he's used to just drawing like portraits of cats or whatever for people, or and he thinks I'm related to this guy. And I had to explain it's an NFT, and then he's like, what's an NFT? So we went down this whole journey together. But yeah, that's kind of where it was born, was just this idea of doing a funny kind of Bitcoin themed NFT. And then luckily we launched just about the time where the profile photo hype just exploded in July. Bored Apes came out, it's like absolutely massive. And we just caught that wave basically, and caught a lot of the attention of the Bitcoin guys, Trevor included, and they contacted me and like, oh, this is really cool, I love Satoshi, I love the idea, but like, I'm so annoyed I had to buy it with Ethereum. You know, like, I wish I could buy it with Bitcoin. And then that's when Trevor put me onto Stacks, you know, and then it's like, since then I've been trying to get over there.
Okay. It's crazy to me too, like, the NFT craze hasn't been that long, but it feels long. Like, it's only been maybe a year since it's, like, really gone crazy.
Yeah, I mean, especially on Stacks. Stacks is so early. Stacks is even earlier than ETH, you know, so it's crazy. But as well, when you look at, there's a thing going around now, these historical NFTs. You know, the CryptoPunks are obviously historical, Crypto Skulls, all these kind of like really old, I say old, they're from 2017, right? It's like on ETH, and they're becoming quite popular because they're like the OG on ETH, apparently. So it's kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to go on Stacks as well, because it's like, you know, anything, any project, Megapon, all these ones that are launching there at the moment right now, they are OGs of Stacks no matter what. Like, in 5 years, people got to look back and they'll be the first projects there. So that's why I was super motivated to try and get Satoshi Mo's a presence on there as early as I could, you know, and I'm hoping it's early enough we can be one of the OGs, you know, on Stacks.
I think you came at the right time. So is that what's going on? Is, because I saw some CryptoPunk news, like a couple sold for some crazy amount. Is there kind of this like resurgence for like the blue chips are making a resurgence in the community?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, CryptoPunks is obviously the largest one, but they've kind of messed up a little bit with their copyright and their IP kind of like scandal they had, where they say that people don't own the IP, and then that caused so many derivatives to happen, which is like, hey, we're also CryptoPunks, but we give you the IP then, and then, you know, some of those have blown up. But apart from that, there's just like smart contracts that were minted in 2017 with like some pixelated artwork, and people are just jumping on those ones, and then some of the floors have gone up to like 3-4 ETH right now. Just because they're 2017, and I'm like asking, well, I minted mine in 2021, so am I going to be like a historic NFT in 5 years' time? You know, like when you look back, especially when you think about 2021 was the year actually of NFTs. So like any project basically launched in 2021 should be considered pretty historic, you know, in 5 or 10 years to come, you know. So
okay, and what's your pulse on what's driving, like, I don't have a good read on NFTs. I can't really tell what's moving. What's, is it narrative? Is it art? Is it community? Like, community seems like the biggest thing, but what's your pulse on what's driving like the new NFT projects that really pop?
Yeah, it's a ton of speculation. I mean, there's a ton of speculation at the moment, and you know, with one popular project comes 10 copycat projects, who some might do it well and some might just be a straight up copy, and they're just like a basically like a rug pull or whatever. But I feel like the Bored Ape Yacht Club community is like obviously the most popular one out there, and what they've been able to achieve is quite amazing actually from the scale of it, and they've been able to pull in, you know, quite celebrities and massive influencers as well. So from Satoshi's point of view, it's also, I would say, I'm more focused on community building and trying to get, you know, build a really strong core, which I think we've been able to do so far. You know, my community in the Discord is a really kind of faithful and dedicated community. They're writing blog posts and tweeting all the time. So community is definitely an important factor. So it's hard to say, like, ton of speculation at the moment. And right now, it's all about utility as well. So, you know, when I launched mine, it was like, profile photo, artwork, I'm going to mint this, great. And then that died out, and it's like, what's the utility? What's the point of this NFT? What does it do? Which is fair enough, you know, and we're also looking at Satoshi Mo to include some utility. But I think, you know, in the future, utility has got to be a massive part of the ones that are going to survive, basically. Like, what real world value are these actually bringing, apart from just speculation? And then you've got maybe one of one artists who are, I think, using the platform to just sell their art with no utility, but their art is amazing, so they'll be able to just push their art. So I think that'll kind of die down with the copycats, and then you'll see two paths, one of one stuff and this pure utility side to things.
Yeah, I think the other thing too I'm seeing, that's like, it's too early to be big, but it will be big, I think, is communities and DAOs. Like,
yeah,
the token is your entrance, and then you can guide like the direction and the impact of this treasury or this collective action, that you can focus on something, and that feels real, because you're not only just a Satoshi beholder, which, like, it's provable that's yours, but you can also see, like, we put 10% of this towards that and we got this result. That seems really early.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, DAOs have been around now for a few years. I mean, DeFi obviously was like 2019, 2020, and that they introduced DAOs then, kind of. But nobody really, it wasn't really in the mainstream. It seems like NFTs have just dragged in all these kind of buzzwords, and people are going, oh, what's a DAO? And then, you know, now it's like NFTs might be actually the gateway for people to learn more about DAOs rather than some scammy DeFi project that nobody's interested in. So NFTs are maybe a better gateway for that, especially when you have the community aspect of it. People do want to be part of something, and a DAO is obviously a great way to bring the community in and get them directly involved in decision making and different things like that. So I think DAOs are super exciting, and they'll play a massive part going forward in probably every project.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned community earlier, and I read something about built with NFT and built with mm-hmm. Bitcoin. And it seems like your guys' thesis from the jump was about giving a disproportionate amount of your what you guys are minting with or whatever to giving back. So talk a little bit about that. I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, it's just since the beginning, I thought, well, why not just try and do something good? And we try to make this idea of, like, let's donate as much as we can, basically, from the minting ETH, and let's put it up to the community to decide what charities they should donate towards. So we got to do our first 10 Ethereum donation, and we put it up to the community and said, okay, guys, here's a list of charities from thegivingblock.com, which is a super great website to donate crypto to a list of charities which are accepting it. So they're basically, they can accept any cryptocurrency there. So we give them a list of charities, and they landed on Built with Bitcoin, which is, like, obviously great for us because it's matching the theme and everything. But not just that, like, what they're doing is really amazing. They're building up communities in rural areas around South America and Africa. Like, a classic example is, like, you know, a school, right? So a school, you have these little communities in Africa, but the school is like a 4 or 5 hour walking away. So the kid gets up in the morning, has to walk 5 hours and 5 hours back. The parents are terrified because it's, like, you know, just to walk that distance. So they're like, cool, let's just build a school in the community then. So they go out and walk 50 meters to get to the school, whatever it is, you know. So they've been building schools there for a few years now. I think they've got schools in Kenya, Rwanda, Nigeria, and South America, El Salvador. They've got over 500 students in Africa. And it was blowing my mind, right? So basically, we did this first 10 Ethereum donation, and I wanted to go on the phone with them because it's the most money I've ever donated in my life. So I'm like, I need to know this guy. I want to get, where is this money going? Like, what's his, you know, are they a scam or whatever? But anyway, it turned out they weren't, because I got on the phone call with their founder, Yusuf. Super nice guy. He created the foundation. And he told me all these things with the school, everything what they're doing. And he told me what they can do with this 10 ETH donation. And it blew my mind. Like, I think they were able to now build, it's under construction now, a whole new science lab with laptops. And they had money left over to build a new kind of a water filtration thing. And I'm like, that's insane. With 10 ETH, you know, it's absolutely incredible. And during the phone call, he then asked me about Satoshiables and how I made it and everything. I said, yeah, you know, it's a generative project. You get artwork, you can generate 10,000 images. And then, like, this light bulb just clicked in my head. I don't know why, but I just, like, oh my God, I've got a great idea. Then I said, why don't we get, like, your students to paint for us? I'll Photoshop them, and then we'll make a collection and then donate 100% back through Built with Bitcoin. And then that's where Built with NFT was born. They were super hyped about it. And we wanted to launch it on Giving Tuesday, which was at the time 2 months away. So we're like, oh, okay, we'll try and do it then. And yeah, we basically did it. They got over 500 students to paint for us. They scanned each image. I mean, some of these children haven't used paints creatively before. So it was a whole thing, you know, like, I was totally humbled and like, wow, this is crazy. So they got over 500 students. The Built with Bitcoin team on the ground scanned each one individually, wrote down the child's name, age, and school, like, and then basically sent it to me in a Dropbox. I opened each file in Photoshop, like, cut out each one manually for like 3 days without sleeping. and then I wrote the code to generate 10,000 unique pieces of art based on their paintings. We launched it in 2 months, you know, we got out there. But the launch was not great because we launched it on Giving Tuesday and we got completely drowned out by by other charities launching at the same time. So we're just trying to keep it going. But we've so far just raised our first 13 Ethereum, and then that's now been cashed. We've got to cash out as we go. The first 13 Ethereum for Built With NFT has just been donated back to Built With Bitcoin, and then they're going to start rolling that out. Yusuf is currently in Africa right now. He's got to gather loads of content. He's doing some interviews with the teachers also and the students. And then from that content, we're going to update the website with all this stuff to show people like ongoing what the funds are doing. So yeah, it's pretty, I basically say to my community, listen guys, this is now our thing. Like we've got to be a part of this now as our way of like giving back social good. And we've got to donate to it, but also we've got to maintain the website. This will be our kind of a way of giving back as well. So
I love it. I love that you can make impact with crypto and like be disproportionate, but also like you could see it. Like, I work at a grocery store. We do some of that too, where we like fundraise for certain kids to do a certain thing in schools. And then we can see their group. And if you want to go visit them, you can. It's amazing. How big is your team though? And are you guys full time on Satoshables?
I am. I'm the only full time member at the moment. I was lucky enough. I was scared to do it, but I did it. You know, I quit my job basically last year to go full time on Satoshables, which was a big risky move. But like, you know, I want to try and make this the best it can be. And then my other team members are basically they're kind of part time, and you know, but they're super dedicated. Just we've got a couple of devs, we've got a couple of guys running Discord, we've got a marketing person, and they're just getting paid kind of like on a project by project basis right now. And hopefully, if it grows into something massive, we can bring them on full time. But at the moment, it's just me.
Okay. And that part felt like a left turn question slightly, but the reason I ask is because the fact that you're doing this charity point from the jump, it does hinder you from being able to bring people on quicker at some point. So like growing the project or growing the artwork might be hindered in the short term, but the long-term benefit of being mission driven and giving back, if people are aligned on that, actually pays dividends longer term. So it's like, it's taking the path of more resistance because it's the right thing to do, which I just want to double click on that because I think it's powerful.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we're super proud of it. And just like you say, build the foundation and then just keep pushing it and try and get other people on board as well. So, yeah.
Love it. Props to you guys. Okay, well, let's start to switch over to Staxbridge. But I know nothing about Ethereum. I've used it once where I tried to, I was going to mint a monster. This is a funny thing for people listening. I tried to mint a monster because they're having a mint right now for Satoshables monsters. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna do one of these, support these guys. He'll come on the pod. It'll be great. And then in my DMs, I got a scam account and I clicked it and I got hacked for 0.1 ETH or whatever. So $300. Learned my lesson quickly. But that's my one experience on ETH. I haven't used it besides that. How is it on ETH? Like as an NFT project, I've heard it's saturated and competitive, but you also have massive liquidity. And I've talked to some projects who come to Stacks and they love it, but I can't tell if there's a selection bias because they're doing so well being in a big fish in a small pond. What's your pulse on ETH right now as an NFT collection?
Yeah, it's like you said, it's super saturated. It's hard to, when I started Satoshables, like I had no following. I'm not like a famous person or anything. I had literally 20 followers on Twitter. And I started Satoshables with zero followers on Twitter, you know, so brand new. So it's an uphill struggle then, but even now it's pretty much impossible. Like if you want to do a mint now on ETH, you need to have someone backing you. You need to have a following. Otherwise, you're going to drown. It's really, really difficult. And it's kind of like hard to figure out what ones are legitimate and not. There's so many copies and so many scams out there as well. So it's a minefield at the moment. But like you said, that's where all the liquidity is right now. That's where everything's happening. But with Stacks, you know, it's a different situation. It's a completely different environment as well. You know, the community is much more intertwined with each other. Everyone gets on well. It's obviously very early, so you've got a chance there to make a splash and you know, have a voice as well. How often can you go and talk directly to the core team? I mean, you can do that in the Discord right now. You know, you can't do that with Ethereum, basically. So that's also a big privilege as well, to be so early that we can do that. But Ethereum is where it's at right now, and I think that by me bridging over to Stacks, hopefully I can be like maybe a kind of a guideline to say, look, you know, it's working, we've done it, we've opened the doors now, and we can maybe get similar projects my size. You know, we're not going to land board the yacht club at the beginning, but you know, if we can get maybe a couple more projects my size over the bridge to see the potential of Stacks, then that's the whole point of it, really.
Beautiful. I love that. And the bridge, so let's double click on the bridge. What, I guess I want to start with the technical side. How hard was it to go from solidity to clarity? What kind of pitfalls did you run into? How was that experience trying to build it technically?
Well, when we decided to go to Stacks, obviously we needed a clarity developer. We got Sudrozak involved in that. He's really, really well known in the space with his LN swap, and he's doing loads of other things. So really happy to get Zach involved with that. And then it's just a matter of, okay, let's brainstorm this. I got with Marvin, there's different people in the space to try and brainstorm a little bit how to do this. And it became very apparent, like, okay, the trustless way right now is just that takes a ton of R&D to try and figure this out, because it's not an easy thing. You know, locking up an NFT on one chain and unlocking it on the other. It's just like, to do it completely trustless is something that's got to take either much more advancements in interoperability between the chains, or some other kind of mechanism which is a little bit more decentralized. So my thought was, well, okay, I don't want to wait 5 years before I get on Stack. So how do we do this now? You know, and I said, okay, why don't we do it in like kind of stages? And then, like, stage one will be basically a trusted service by our team, by the Satoshables team. And it's like, be open with it and say, right, if you want to use the bridge, then you need to trust us, basically. You know, we'll use all the security practices we can build into this thing. It'll be as secure as possible and audited. But it's not decentralized. It's not completely trustless. And that's basically what we did. So we want to go on Stack. So we launched version one as a basically like a trusted service, which is, you know, has this smart contract on, has the Satoshables contract on ETH, has the Clarity contract on Stacks, and then there's a bridge service running in the middle, basically, which is kind of a listening to the transactions and controlling that happening. So yeah, that's how we did it. But we're kind of always right now looking to get to that version two right now, and maybe taking on some funding as well to try and get some real developer brains behind this problem and get it into like an open protocol. Because that's when you can start bringing in other people, when it's more trustless, then you can start showing other projects to say, okay, cool, you just need to use this protocol, and then it's really easy to kind of set up. So yeah, that's the journey we're on right now.
Okay. And just for my own, because I'm new-ish to crypto, I've probably been here for maybe 6 months, like heavy. When you're saying trustless versus trusted, trustless would be completely code-driven, no intermediary, and you can just click and it ends up over here. And trusted is there's some human in the middle that has to initiate some part of the process. Is that a way of thinking about it?
Yeah. So, you know, have you used Sudrozak's LN swap before?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a trustless protocol. So basically, it's all on chain. So there's no human element involved in it, and it's all on chain. So you know that it's going to just work fine. OpenSea, for example, is one. Uniswap on ETH is also a trustless, completely trustless protocol. There's no centralized server involved in those transactions. It's all on chain. So that's the goal. That's the ultimate goal, is to basically make that happen. But it becomes trustless apps or trustless services are really kind of easy to do when it's on the same chain. So you could build a trustless app on Stacks directly if it's just like you want to build something like an NFT exchanger where like I put my NFT in and then you put yours in and then it swaps and then you can exchange it. That's totally doable on the same chain, but on a different chains, I mean different blockchains, completely Ethereum and Stacks is completely different. It's not possible at the moment. You can't make them talk to each other. So you have to have this thing in the middle at the moment right now to communicate between the both chains.
Yeah. Okay. And this might be getting too in the weeds, but what is the big hang up when it comes to what is missing R&D wise? Maybe with this podcast, someone's going to hear the problem and they start working on it. What is the biggest issue that has to be R&D'd when it comes to making them talk?
It's a term called interoperability. So basically allowing chains to be like, and allow one chain to know what the other chain is doing, basically, is the ultimate dream. And the only way it kind of works is that so Stacks needs to know what's currently happening on Ethereum. So if you do a transaction on Ethereum, theoretically you could somehow get the Ethereum block into Stacks somehow, and then Stacks then knows basically what's happening on Ethereum. That's the only way that can happen. There's no way of like asking Ethereum or anything like that. You have to give Stacks the information. And again, I'm not like fully developer wide. That's my limited knowledge on the thing. If anyone listening does know anything about this stuff, then please reach out, because that would be like amazing for us. But it's quite a hard problem to solve right now. But I'm sure the Stacks team are also working on this, because that is the ultimate goal as well, because that would be their dream, to also suck in a lot of liquidity from ETH to be able to make it as interoperable as possible. They're already working on being able to change a Solidity contract into a Clarity contract. Like, you can do that already. Like, you can just easily quite like convert it into Clarity, which is a great thing for onboarding Ethereum people, because then it's just like, oh, I've already got a smart contract on Solidity, I can just convert it to Clarity, launch it, and then I've got one there. Not that they'll communicate, but at least they'll be able to launch it there. So, yeah. We'll see how it goes, but it'll be super exciting if you can like one day just call a function on a smart contract on ETH, and then it gets picked up on Stacks. Like, that's the ultimate goal, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it does seem like bridges are starting to become the thing, because I know you guys are first, but Megapond's working on their Banana Bridge, and then Allbridge just got a pretty big grant to bring interoperability to Stacks over 10 or so blockchains. So, yeah, pretty exciting stuff. Very interesting. And you guys, the goal is going to be to make it somewhat open source. So it's not going to be like, initially it's verified projects or people that come to you initially. But the dream is that anybody who wants to use this, just port in your assets and bring them over.
Yeah, I think that is the dream. But the more and more I talk to people about it, I'm not sure if it's even possible to do without some sort of a setup process. When we could, you make it a protocol maybe, but there will be some sort of you'll need to set up a smart contract on Clarity, right? I mean, there has to be someone doing that, because the NFTs have to live there. So there will be a setup process, and whether or not it comes from a service that we provide, or we just give the guidelines for people to like, here's the step by step, here's how you get going with the protocol kind of thing. We're not sure yet.
Got it. Okay. Man, this has been super interesting. I want to start to close this down, but I'm sure you have a ton going on between the bridge, the monsters, more art coming down. What do you guys have coming down the pipeline? I mean, you could pick between 6 months to a year. What are you guys working on?
I've not really announced it yet, so I can't really say anything, but we are working on the whole point of us going to Stacks. For me was twofold, basically, to give my holders a choice of going to a blockchain which is backed up by Bitcoin, you know. So for security purposes, people want to hold for the long term, send it there, and then just, you know, you're golden because it's backed up with Bitcoin. But also to build utility, because building utility on Ethereum right now is super expensive with the gas fees, and the transaction fees over in Stacks are obviously minuscule, and it's a much better place to start building this stuff. So all I can say is we are building something right now that will be launched very soon. That's all I can say.
Okay, big question mark, but you heard it here first.
Yeah, but it'll be on Stacks anyway. So we plan to build stuff there. We plan to, you know, get involved with the community as much as we can, you know, and try and be a good member of the community as well. So
love it. We are happy to have you guys, 100%. Well, any closing thoughts before you close it down? Something that we didn't discuss or you want to tell the community?
No, just really happy to be on Stacks finally. You know, we've been talking about it for a few months now, and then we finally launched it. And it's so good to see that first, basically the first Satoshi will get bridged over, and then you see it pop up on the marketplace. And a small note just to the marketplaces as well, like, you know, the Byzantine guys, Stacks NFT, Stacks Art, all those guys there. Like, what we're doing right now would be 1,000 times more difficult if they guys didn't help us, you know. Like, they've been so open to the community. It's those marketplaces that are really driving the NFT scene forward. Like, without them it would be impossible. So big shout out to them for all the help they gave us, like, with the transition. They were all super helpful with getting us there and listing our stuff and everything. So yeah, that's all I want to say is a big thanks to those guys.
Yeah, shout out to all of them. I know every time I talk to someone who's working on an NFT collection, they've already talked to multiple guys and gotten a bunch of help. And I'm like, these dudes must have clones. Like, how are they doing? Everyone I talk to has a positive view of either Obsidian or Plutus or Jamil or all of them. So it's
the great guys.
They're killing it. Well, Brian, this has been fantastic. Thank you for coming on, man. I like what you guys are building.
Thanks for having me, Jake. Speak soon. Cheers.
That's it for this episode. What'd you guys think? I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I did talking with Brian. Super nice guy. Loving what they've built. You know, there's so many ways to help bring stacks to the masses, whether it's a bridge from ETH, interoperability, scaling solutions, unlocking Bitcoin, all these things, you know, push the mission forward. So yeah, I'd love to see it. Satoshi Bulls is dope. The artwork is dope. But if you could do me a favor, it would mean the world to me. It's cliche. Every podcaster says it. And it's because it probably works, which is if you could please subscribe on YouTube and leave me a review on Apple Podcast. It does so much to help push this podcast up in the ranks. So we're trying to make it a top 20 podcast this year, just like we're trying to get Stacks to be a top 20 project in crypto this year. And I think we can do both, but I do need your help. So if you can leave me a review, that does wonders. And, you know, subscribe on YouTube, maybe comment. I reply to every single comment. But yeah, that's it. If you do it, I love you. If you don't, still love you. That's it. See you next episode. Peace.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
I know that things don't always go your way, but I'll be right here waiting.
I've been waiting now. I've been trying to figure out a way to make it out. Make it out, 'cause I don't think about everything going right.